Acts 12, verses 1 through 19. And I'll be reading from the NIV version. And it reads, "It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. When he saw that this met with approval among the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the festival of unleavened bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handed him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. Quick, get up, he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, put on your clothes and sandals. And Peter did so. Wrap your cloak around you and follow me, the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, now I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were hoping would happen. When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and the servant named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was overjoyed. She ran back without opening it and exclaimed, Peter is at the door. You're out of your mind, they told her. When she kept insisting it was so, they said it must be his angel. But Peter kept on knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Peter motioned with his hand for them to be quiet and described how the Lord had brought him out of prison. Tell James and the other brothers and sisters about this, he said, and he left for another place. Then in the morning, there was no small commotion among the soldiers as to what had become of Peter. After Herod had a thorough search made for him and did not find him, he cross-examined the guards and ordered that they be executed. So I know over the next couple of weeks, Dion is working on a series called Prayer and how important prayer is. So for those who like to take notes, I titled this lesson Praying as One. Praying as one. So I have 3 points that I wanted to discuss about this lesson text that I hope will be beneficial and helpful for us in our prayer lives, for not only ourselves, but for others. So point number one. So this is what I'll give you my 3 points, and then I'll break and talk about each one. This is just to reinforce the points in your mind. When you don't feel like praying, others' prayers can open doors. When you don't feel like praying, other prayers can open doors. Secondly, communal prayer shows God how serious we are about the issue. And last, when we pray as one, miracles happen. So let's talk about the first point. When you don't feel like praying, others' prayers can open doors. I mean, you would think that Peter would be praying to God all night for his release. But the text says that Peter was sleeping. I mean, you would think that as an apostle, one of Jesus' closest friends, he was in the inner circle of Jesus. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane with Jesus. He knows the importance of prayer and how powerful prayer is and can be. But Peter, he was sleeping. He was relaxed. He was relaxed. He had his shoes off, had his coat off, and he was knocked out between two guards. He was, in my opinion, this is not scripture, this is my opinion, so don't go back saying that this is what the Bible says. In my opinion, Peter could have been tired of praying. He could have been tired of praying. I'm in jail. I just witnessed one of my close friends be executed. I know what's going to happen. I've been praying, and nothing is happening. So maybe this is where God wants me to be. Maybe this is the end of my road. Maybe my death is to bring God's glory. Like I said, this is my opinion. I don't know what Peter was thinking, but I do know while Peter was sleeping, the church was praying. While Peter was sleeping in prison, the church was praying. We all get tired, church. We all get tired sometimes and don't want to pray. We have those moments. And sometimes we don't even know what to pray for. We are so tired of praying that, God, I don't even know what to say. So I'm not going to say anything. That's why it's important for us to pray for others. Because if I feel like that, and I don't feel like praying for myself, I hope someone in the church is praying for me. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, it says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. So part of our Christian duty, church, is to pray for one another. I mean, when we pray for others, we're helping that other brother or sister carry a burden that they don't have to carry for themselves. I mean, you know, when it's a lot easier to carry something that's heavy if more people are carrying the load. I mean, this table is heavy to me, but if two or three more people are carrying it with me, it's a lot easier. So the burden is much lighter. So when we pray for other people, when we petition God on behalf of someone else, we're helping that person get through. We're helping that person carry a burden that they might be tired of carrying on their own. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, one of the shortest verses in the Bible, but it's one of the most powerful. It says, pray continually. Pray continually. If we are in constant prayer for others, our prayers may be what that other person need at that moment. Just imagine, what if the church wasn't praying for Peter when he was in prison? Would he have still escaped? I don't know. But my faith tells me that it was the prayers of the church that sent the angel to Peter to escape prison that night. So we are in constant prayer for others. That might be what that person might need to have that breakthrough. I mean, I don't know about you, but sometimes I can feel the prayer of others. When things are not just going right, if I'm not just feeling like I'm supposed to be, in just a burst of energy or a refreshing come over me, I know someone's praying for me, church. So that's why prayer is so important. So when we praying for other people, it can open doors in those people's lives, like we see that it did for Peter. But also, I know last week Dion talked about that it's okay to be selfish in your prayers. Sometimes you need to pray for yourself to get you through, because we all are dealing with things. But sometimes when we pray for others, God in turn answers our prayers. I mean, in James chapter 5, verse 16, It says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. So when we are praying for others, and that faith that we have that God will answer our prayers, sometimes God will answer our prayers when we're praying for other people, because it's showing that, God, I'm going to put myself on a back burner for a minute because someone else needs prayers as well. So in turn of praying for other people, God might in turn answer your prayers as well. The scripture where it says in James 5:16, it says, confess your sins, pray to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Praying for other people is beneficial for you more than, and sometimes more than the other person. That's why praying for other people is so important. And we see that doors can be open in other people's lives when we pray for them. So that's why we should pray for other people. Secondly, communal prayer shows God how serious we are about the issue. We see in the lesson text in Acts chapter 12, verse 5, it says the church was earnestly praying for Peter. They really wanted Peter out of jail. They wanted him out of jail and not face death. You have to realize one of their own was just executed. The scripture doesn't say how long in between James' death and execution was before Peter was arrested. But it didn't matter. They knew that when Peter was arrested, they knew he was going to be killed. They knew that. So what was their first response? Prayer. They was earnestly praying that Peter be released from prison and not face death. The church, in the scripture, you realize that the church was praying all night. And it was many people that was praying. We know it's night because Peter was sleeping and the church was praying. And they were still praying when he escaped prison. No, I mean, to me, church, that shows how serious they were in prayer, how intent they were in prayer of getting, of having, of petitioning God to get Peter out of the prison, get him out so he does not face death. We need to be intentional and fervent in our prayer. Our prayers also must be accompanied with faith. I'm not saying, church, that you have to pray all night long. Don't eat. Don't sleep. Just pray, pray, pray. I'm not saying that you have to do that all the time. But sometimes situations might call for that type of prayer to really be intentional of getting God's attention. When you don't feel like praying, pray that others will pray for you. I'll say that again. When you don't feel like praying for others or for yourself, pray that others will pray for you. The only way that other people would know to pray for you, we have to go back to James chapter 5, where we need to let the church know. I mean, everybody can have on a Sunday's best and look good on Sunday and thinking everything's fine. I might not know you're struggling. I might not know that. But we must know, and we must have that type of relationship that I can share with you that I am struggling, that you need to pray for me throughout this week. The stuff is going on, stuff that is happening in my life that I just can't bear. I need other people to share and pray for me as well. This is why we have a prayer list. This is why we have a calendar each day requesting us to pray for a particular issue or for a particular family, because this is serious business, church. Prayer is serious. When we petition the Almighty God on somebody's behalf, it's serious business. Also, when we petition God with anything that's going on in our life, you have to realize if it's important to us, it's important to God. I'll say that again. If it is important to us, it is important to God. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." I know I've heard discussions of, why do I need to pray? Why do I need to bring these things to God? If he's all knowing, he should know already. Why do I have to spell it out to him? God still wants to hear from you. I mean, you really, some lessons you don't, as growing up, you got bought sense and taught sense. Sometimes you don't learn until you take it for yourself. But you really don't understand the relationship of God the Father sometimes until you become a parent yourself. Like, I know something is going on, or my son might want something, but instead of just giving it to him, sometimes I want him to ask. That's just a relationship. And I think God has that same relationship. God knows everything that we need, that we want, that we desire, but sometimes he just wants us to ask for it. Just approach me. Just ask me for it. God wants to hear from us. So if it's important to us, it's important to God. And whatever you're carrying, it's important enough that God can hear my prayer and share that heavy load with you. And lastly, when we pray as one, miracles happen. When we pray as one, miracles happen. Peter thought the whole time he was escaping from prison that he was dreaming. And I can see why Peter would think that, because two chapters earlier, he just had a vision. He was in a trance about going to see Cornelius, a Gentile. So I can see why Peter thought, oh, God is just showing me another vision of something. While Peter thought he was dreaming, God was answering the prayers of the church. Then he realized that he wasn't dreaming. People don't believe in miracles until it happens to them. I'll say that again. People don't believe in miracles until it happens to them. And we see in this lesson text that, I mean, the church was praying for Peter to get out of prison. Earnestly praying for him to get out of prison. And when he showed up at the front door, they didn't believe it. They were praying that Peter would be released from prison. And when God answered their prayer, they didn't even believe it. Have you ever done that? Have you ever prayed for something so hard and for so long, and when God answered it, we don't believe it's him? See, people don't believe in miracles until it happens to them. No, I mean, especially if we pray for something for God and then he answers it right away in the way we want him to. Oh, that's hard to believe that God would answer that quickly and in that way. But when we pray as one, miracles do happen. And I want to just, miracles can mean a lot of things to a lot of people. To me, childbirth is a miracle, and people take it for granted. These are miracles that happen every day around us. God's timing of Peter's release was a miracle, because that next day, when the feast was about to be over, he was going to quote unquote be on trial, which was a fixed trial. We knew he was going to be executed. So God answered that prayer. And the thing with when God answers our prayer, we know when God answers our prayer because he answers in a way that only he can get the glory. It ain't nothing that you done. It ain't nothing that somebody else did. He answered in a way that only God can get the glory. All you can say is, but God. When God answers a prayer in his way, in his timing, all you can say is, but God. I'm not saying that we pray for self-serving things, but for things that will bring glory to God and be used for his purpose. I mean, to me, we had a miracle happen here at Reynoldsburg. And we all was praying as one for Kim Johnson's nephew. Oh, you can say the doctors did everything they could, and it's a miracle when you pray as one. Miracles happen. I had a cousin years ago had a terrible stroke. Literally, the doctors wrote her off. But we started praying. And now she's back healthy, living a full life. Miracles happen, church, when we pray as one. I mean, look at the early church in Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47. It reads, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Church, the early church met daily and prayed together daily. And the miracle of the church praying together was that people were believing in Christ daily. And people were being saved daily. The church, the early church, they served and prayed. Oh, I forgot to mention about what about prayer is. Prayer is more than mere words. It's an action as well. I mean, how can I say I'm praying for you and knowing your need and don't do anything to help that need at that time? That's as James said, that's faith without works is dead. How can I say that I see you hungry and I say, go off and be fed, and I know you are hungry and I have the means to help you? That's not Christ-like, church. Prayer is serving. It's an action as well once we know what the other person may need. So praying as one. When you don't feel like praying, others' prayers can open doors in your life. Communal prayer shows how serious we are about the issue. And when we pray as one, miracles happen. So that is the lesson, church. I hope and pray that we take this prayer seriously. That we know that there's power in prayer.